Welcome to the Tri-State Space Program. This episode features the two founding members of Evan's Villains, RC the MC and Clay Schmidt. It was awesome just to hang out with them in their recording space and to have this badass discussion. Without any further ado, this is RC the MC and Clay Schmidt of Evan's Villains. Guys, so what's been up musically? What have you been working on?
Well, right now we've been kind of working on a remix tape, kind of an introduction into a collaboration album we got going on right now. We've got a lot of local guys with us too. Ollie Buckets is on there.
Sweet.
Nirangelo is on
Thea,
there.
Awesome.
Theo, yeah.
Theo,
what's
like
he go by?
The though? Guitar player?
Theo? No, that's Dan. That's Dan. Our other producer, Dan.
No. I mean, like, okay, who's Theo?
Theo Tolbert.
Okay. I know a different Theo.
I met him with Nero, and he's just getting into recording. He's one of the best freestylers I've ever fucked with, really. He's a really good freestyler.
Yeah, he can freestyle for sure.
And he laid down a verse on our Palm Trees remix. But yeah, while Clay is in school right now and learning more about beats and doing original work, and our friend Dan Mitchell, Young Dig, does a lot of original music. But right now, for what Clay and I are trying to achieve, while just figuring out sounds and letting Clay practice messing with vocals and different things, we're working on this remix tape with just popular beats or beats that we like, and we're compiling a tape together and featuring the local artists around here like Theo, Nero, and K2. And while we are working towards an original project with all original beats and original sounds, but we're moving to Colorado after Christmas, so this is kind of a transitional tape,
yeah.
I guess, in the meantime, to give us something to work on and to stay in the lab.
Yeah, and I kind of look at it as, since I'm in school and shit, and learning, like, mixing processes and whatnot, it gives me a good, like, since this one, all I'm really doing is, like I said, like, a little bit on the beat. Besides that, it's mostly just mixing, like, our vocals together. Since our next project's going to be collab, it helps me kind of figure out, you know, like, different things our vocals can do, layers, all that kind of stuff like that, so I can go into that album thinking more, like, how to structure a beat around,
and we're moving towards
styles and stuff like that.
Live instrumentation
as
well.
Exactly.
We have a lot of people in our band, I guess, or our, the Evan's Villains, or
core villains.
We have a keyboardist, Emily Feaster, and she's a vocalist. And Dan plays guitar and makes beats and can play pretty much anything you hand to him. Keaton plays guitar, and Emily's boyfriend plays drum for us sometimes.
Ty.
And Colton Ballet plays drums for us.
That's cool.
We lack a bassist, although we have a bass. No, it's ballet.
Oh, well,
ballet,
like French.
Yeah,
cool.
That's pretty badass, man.
Yeah.
Sounds like
pretty
you
solid.
Guys are getting your ducks in a row as far as like getting musicians, and that's a big thing that is missing from hip hop overall. I feel like is live instrumentation for me to really truly like enjoy it musically.
Yeah,
that's one thing that's missing from it that like musicians could get into. You know,
and we're really pushing hard in that direction because we want to be more than just a dude on a mic. You know, on the stage, that
it gets
boring to watch. You know,
right.
Like,
yeah, I'd rather make beats that like a full band could play, because I feel like that makes the audience more like submersed within the music as well. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like they're gonna dance more to the live band. I don't know, the whole feeling of having a live band, I just feel like brings a lot better presence to the whole show.
It does. It's organic.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
Something human about it. You know, that's what I feel like. When I've seen hip hop done live, which actually I gotta plug this because it's exciting as fuck, but it's shameless at the same time. Jangle Sheep are playing with Tropedelic. Sorry, I said Tropedelic when I first saw the name written, but they played at Lamasco a little while back. They're coming back November 19th, and somebody messaged us and asked us if we would play it. Chris from Lamasco. So we're opening for them, and those guys. You guys should come to this fucking show.
What is it?
Like,
what did you say?
It's Tropedelic. Okay. They're like a kind of a ska band, but they're not like really fast, so they can rap on it, and it's fucking awesome. One of the guys who raps also plays trombone, and it's fucking crazy.
I love live horns, man.
Yeah, they have a horn section.
Ooh. And
yeah, it's good.
When is that,
They're really good. November 19th.
Okay, cool.
And they'll probably come back again after that, even. Like, they're pretty fucking awesome.
No, but I've been really wanting to see you guys, too.
Yeah. Because
I was pissed I had to leave for the... What was the show? The Ryan Taylor you guys did down at...
The backstage.
Yeah, the backstage show. That was cool.
Because Seize the Empire is good, too. I've heard them online. I like them as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they weren't... I think they were... what was it? What was the name of the band that played that? Seize the Empire was originally going to be on it. And then...
Oh, they didn't play?
I think so. I think there was talk of them being on it. And then, no, it was... what was the name of that band that played that heavy fucking band? Damn it. We did the video thing with them. You remember that day? Fuck. Did that promotional video?
I thought it was them because the dude that's got, like, the short blonde hair.
No, it's a singer. Some other name. Some other, like... It kind of sounds like that. It sounds like a heavy name.
Yeah,
Stolen
yeah.
Remains. That's
what Oh, that's right. Remains. Yeah, Stolen Remains.
Yeah,
I fucked up.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
the
yeah.
S's. The S's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, no, I feel like somebody said Seize the Empire whenever they first started to, like, look around. But, anyway.
Either way, I've listened to both of them. They're both dope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Seize the Empire's good too because they play Meskerfest, so
you would
have listened to them for that.
That's why, I got a whole playlist that I just went on Spotify and just took all the.
That's
fucking,
awesome.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, we're on there actually.
Yeah,
you're
on my playlist, dude. How
that's cool. That's awesome. Yeah, we have a few people listening to us. So, but that the freestyling for that hip hop show was fucking awesome. How we just had a. Like a song we kind of had fucked with before, but it was just this random idea, and then we were told, like, Ryan said something to us, he said something to us about like doing a freestyle thing, and
yeah, he just came
Nero
out
agreed, and then yeah,
he just, I was outside, and he was like, "Hey, if we freestyle, are you down?" And I was like, "Yeah,
yeah,
that's
shit's,
what I thought."
Yeah,
but
that shit's fun, man. We damn cool. near every show I've been a part of, at least. That's kind of how we'd, like, start to show off.
I like
especially
to
when, like, Nero and Holly Buckets are there with us.
And a lot of people tell me I freestyle better than I write.
You do. So I think that.
So I try to...
Not that, yeah, okay, I think your writing's dope, but, like, your freestyles are on point. Which is, you saved my ass at that show with the groovy freestyle.
You said you rhyme Democrat and Diplomat, and I was like, damn. Like, I've never thought that those... I've never...
freestyle?
Those totally could work. I've never thought about those working together before.
I forgot I even said that. I should put that in a song sometime. Like, I guess it, see, that's the thing that sucks about freestyling. Is like,
you don't remember
it? Yeah, people are like, would you, you know, if someone's like, oh, I heard you kill freestyle, what'd you say? I have no idea.
So you
played it to me. But no, it's very impromptu. As long as that keeps going.
I feel like that's why we do better at that sometimes, is because, like, whenever we're writing, we're like, fuck, I want this line to be perfect.
Yeah.
And then when you're freestyling, you don't have time for that. You just gotta, like, whatever comes to mind, you gotta throw it out there.
I noticed you guys are really fast. That's one thing I definitely picked up on, is you guys, like a lot of people just try to ride the beat, like in kind of a conventional way, but you guys just kind of take it to the next level, trying to kind of fit more in there. Like, I feel like...
I probably change the flow 4 times a song. Like, I don't really stay... Like, sometimes I think I sound faster than I am because I'll start slow. And then when I go a little bit faster, it sounds like I'm double speed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's definitely rhymes faster than I do. He's all over the place.
See, but I went through a huge Ritz phase where I listened to him nonstop because I wanted to emulate that as much as possible because he kills it. And that's why we did that Going Through Hell remix, because that's a Ritz remix, and I love that song.
Yeah.
It's him and Mike Posner. And I'm not a huge Mike Posner fan, but them together is just, like, such a perfect match.
Yeah, production works.
Yeah, exactly. He usually just does, like, a hook and then, like, a bridge or something, and then Ritz just... murders the fucking verses.
That's cool. That's always cool when you get a partnership of, you know, a producer and a rapper. Like, I say rapper, I don't know if that's, like, is that the term? Is that correct? Like, I mean, is that...
Rapper, poet, MC,
I like poet,
trash talker.
Yeah.
Punk.
Bullshitter, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, professional bullshitter.
Yeah.
Like, ultimately...
I have a degree in bullshitting.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, I would, if I could rap, which I can't, I feel like I can't do it. There's no way. I can sing okay, but I can't. There's no way. I can't rap.
Dude, really, honestly, I feel like if you can write lyrics to a song, I feel like you can rap. Like, voice is something you gotta find. Like, I hated my voice back in the day, like how it sounded recorded. You just gotta find out how to... I mean, I feel like it's similar to singing. Like, you gotta find your own singing style. Like, you emulate who you like,
for a while, yeah.
Yeah, and then you kind of, like, draw from that to develop your own kind of a thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And rap's really similar as far as that is. Huh. Especially with flows. That's how I find new flows is, like, I emulate a lot of Chance stuff sometimes when I try, like, to do some sing-song kind of shit, because I like how he does that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same with, like, the fast rapping, like, Ritz does that a lot, Tech N9ne.
Right. You kind of find your way to do that. Yeah. You find, like, your way to do, like, a similar thing. It's almost like, it's not quite like you're ripping them off, but it's almost like an...
Like a homage.
Homage, yeah, 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 yeah. Exactly.
An homage.
Yeah.
An homage.
Everything's imitated. I mean, no Shakespeare play was original thought. I mean, art does right. that. Everything's, there's no shame in it. I mean,
but it's like you're creating. On
yeah,
it.
It's adding, like to, the reuse, adding you know? To the conversation is what I'd like to do, I guess.
Yeah. You're contributing another iron in the fire.
Like, yeah.
Another iron in the collective fire.
Exactly.
Like, just you're pulling from the same human condition that everyone else is. Yeah. So, to an extent, you're going to be stepping on toes.
You're going
to
overlap, yeah.
Like a guitar player. Every day, all day, everything you do has been done before.
Yeah.
Just have to go in accepting that.
Yeah.
As far as materials, like, we've all been broken up with, you know, we've all, I mean, if not yet, right. we will at some point experience some form of death. I mean, everyone experiences, mm-hmm. yeah, the human condition
yeah.
at some point. But.
And it's sort of like what we said earlier, it's like, art is making something sad, not only mm-hmm. that, like, because that's why I look at Eminem a lot, because he can take a situation that is extremely personal.
Take a sad song.
Yeah, like some fucking Beatles. But no, he takes a sad song, or he takes like a situation that is extremely personal and then makes it relatable to, you know what I mean? It just, mm-hmm. What he describes may not be relatable, but like the feeling that you can feel through his lyrics is definitely relatable.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah. He's like, I don't know, he's one of those artists that when you're young, you listen to Eminem, and then because it's shock value.
Yeah.
But then as you get older, you realize there's actually some substance here. Even though this is like commercially viable music,
yeah, yeah.
It's still pretty substantive.
As you get older, you hear Eminem.
Exactly.
I want to say the same thing with Marilyn, because I loved Marilyn back in the day yeah. because he was just so, like, I like screaming, and he had a good screaming voice when he recorded, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he was pretty poetic, and, like, his lyrics are dope. And
they're deep, too, man.
Yeah. And it meaning. Was, and it was like, I went to Catholic school, so like the what's the Ooh. The fight song where I'm not a slave to a God that doesn't exist. So I didn't, and I wasn't like anti-God, but like some of the stuff they were trying to tell me I didn't like.
Right.
And so I related to that, you know what I mean? And then now I go back and listen to it and I realize that besides that, he's got a lot of, you know, pretty conscious shit going on.
Oh too. Yeah, definitely. I don't mind Marilyn Manson, honestly. A lot of people shit on Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, I mean, it's because right. the way he layers is. I feel like mostly the hate he gets is because his live performances can't really compare
no,
to
yeah.
his. Because of the way he layers his voices and all
and
that
John
shit.
And John 5, like, playing guitar on all that shit,
yeah.
is just, yeah, insane. In the recording, you get the tone, like, perfect, you know?
Exactly.
Like, the Beautiful People, the tone in that fucking song, oh, man. Like, you can't, it's unmatched. Like, definitely unmatched.
Yeah.
He did a show like Nashville Pussy. Have you ever heard of that band?
Uh-huh.
They're like they're mostly like a touring band. They went to the Grammys once, and I actually saw them in Indianapolis a few months ago, and with a couple of other badass bands. And they like I heard a podcast with him with the lead singer, and he said that they toured with Marilyn Manson back in the 90s, I think, and they used to put like Confederate flags behind them. Just as, like, a joke, kind of. Like, they were never, like, that, you know, they didn't give a shit about it. It was just
yeah.
shock value.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why they did it.
Yeah.
Their name's Nashville Pussy. So that shock value is why they exist. So
yeah, yeah.
They, yeah. And all their songs are about, like, are all raunchy, like, party songs. And so they, like, they had these Confederate flags, and Marilyn Manson's complaint was that the flags weren't big enough. Like, they needed to be bigger. And you wouldn't think Marilyn Manson would be like that when you think about the implications of the Confederate flag and how
yeah.
like racism and everything. But Marilyn Manson just wants to shake shit up, you know? And I have like a respect for that.
Yeah, and his whole thing is about like questioning things and not just accepting it, other people's beliefs and what they tell you as true fucking fact.
Don't pledge blind allegiance
exactly.
to shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
question
yourself.
Question outer space.
Yeah, bro. Carl Sagan, man.
Question. Well, that's why, like, that's
the
two-party only,
system.
Like, that's the glimmering, yeah. that's, like, the glimmering, what's that called? The silver lining in the flat earth people for me is like, guys are fucking insane, but I do respect that you're questioning what the government says.
I think BLB started that shit because he...
to get attention?
Like that, because he's kind of been under the radar for a while.
He's like, come on, Haley, do another song. Come on. You were the only reason I had a career. Come
on. But what's fucked up is if it's a publicity stunt...
I don't know that that's true. I just said that for...
If it's a publicity stunt, though... If that's his go-to for, like...
Right.
Like, what's wrong
Hitler with... Hitler was right. Is that going to be next? You know? Is he going to tweet that next?
No shit. Hashtag Hitler was right.
Jews kind of are shifty. Hashtag Hitler was right. Just to get attention. Because you know if B.O.B. tweeted that,
it would be a news story. It'd be a fucking Fox News headline for 2 days.
All the news. Because the liberal media would pick that shit up, too.
Oh, yeah.
I used to never say liberal media. But then it's
now
like,
it's so obvious.
It's so obvious that there's a liberal media and a conservative media, and I don't watch either because I know they're all bullshitting me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know. If my boss hears that, I've said that like at work, so I don't know. You know, it's not a big deal.
Is your boss a certain way?
No, I mean not really. He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I just don't. I don't know if he knows. I don't know if he knows about this podcast or not.
Oh.
But if he did, I don't ever say anything that I wouldn't say at work.
You should ask him to be on it.
Yeah, dude.
The editor, the boss. I don't ever say, like, where I work specifically.
I won't say it. I can't remember either, so.
but, I like how Evansville's becoming this community now. Like, you guys are working with Nero and Ollie Buckets and, other people, even you have a whole band, or pretty much minus a bassist. You said,
yeah. And we have a bassist.
You interested, bro?
Well, I mean, I could jam with you guys, but yeah. I can't move to Colorado. With
But we're here, we just want someone that could, you know, let us
play a show or two.
Yeah, play some shows. Kind of thing.
There's the internet.
I'm down for that.
You always get licks from it.
Yeah,
I'm down for that.
Fuck yeah.
I have a bass. I don't have a bass amp. I'm using mics right now, but that is my next. The Guitar Center has that gear card thing.
Gear card, man.
And that's my next thing. I got an acoustic guitar.
There's a reason it's red, because it's Satan.
Yeah.
That thing.
I have two. I actually have, like, I have two acoustic songs I'm recording. Well, they're not acoustic, but I needed my acoustic guitar for them. They're full band. Like, I'm doing all the shit on them. But it's two. Jake the Astronaut, that's what I go by.
Yeah.
Because you've looked this up, so you know it's the Tri-State Space Program.
Yeah.
There's a play on that. But yeah, so I got this acoustic guitar, and it fucking... buzzes on the third fret, dude.
Come
to my show at Mojo's on the 13th, where I'm opening for the Cold Stairs.
August.
They're pretty fucking good. 13th of September.
Okay.
Sorry. No, wait. Yeah, it is August. Fuck. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, 16th of September, we have a show.
Okay.
Jangle Sheep do. I got those confused for a minute.
Okay.
No, Mojo's, I'm opening for the Cold Stairs and this month. And yeah. In a week. A week from tonight. Yeah. It's going to be weird. But. Because that third fret, I'm going to hear it. I need to pick songs where that's not an issue.
Yeah,
but,
I'll fuck with you.
Yeah, it buzzes so fucking hard, man. It's terrible. But anyway, I'm going to have to take that shit back. But anyway, that relates to the gear card, because the next thing I'm going to get is going to be a bass amp.
Yeah, so, man. That gear card is dangerous.
It is.
I love it, but it is dangerous.
It is. If you have decent credit when you get one, then it's like, oh,
mine's
fuck.
Only a grand. I'm lucky.
Mine's $1,200.
See, actually. even that much would have got me. Like, this grand one gets me in trouble. I can't even go there. Like, I'm online. Like, fuck, I want that and that and this.
Right.
Like, I got a credit card. Fuck it.
Right. Well, I need a direct box. And I need an interface. And I need, you know, like, you just keep... I need cables now.
Yeah. That's my next purchase. I need a new
For $10 cable. More, I can get, like, 20 more feet with this deal. So
really
I'm going to do that.
Yeah. I have a really good mic cable. We'll just use that when
I'm trying to
XLR.
Move. I'm buying like a three. I want the most expensive fucking mic cable.
Dude, get a
I don't
big
care if
fucking interface
best.
Too, man.
Yeah, get I'm getting one for free from school, but I think it's only a dual or it's only a single input. That one's got two. But I mean, that was only like $100. That's like the cheapest one they had at the time.
M Audio, yeah. M Audio,
it's
all right
though.
Shit for
I like
home,
my
yeah.
keyboard's M Audio. I like that too.
Yeah. M Audio's pretty decent. They if you get like. I don't know. You're going to need a bigger one. If you have a band. I mean, you're going to need a bigger one.
Oh, for sure.
You're going to need at least 8. But, probably more than that, honestly. If you have drums. Drums are the bitch as far as recording.
Yeah, because you got to do each one separate, right?
Yeah.
And then overhead and all that shit.
All that shit. It sucks. The dude we recorded with did, like, room mics. And he measured from the center of the snare to where the mic was and then made them equidistant from the center of the snare. So then the snare pop that you hear in the room is even on the mics. Like, it's the same volume.
Okay.
So he has, like, one point of it being... Dude, he's fucking insane. Tony Solner. It's Bootlegger Recording Studios. It's actually 5 minutes from here. Over there on the west side. Yeah, I don't know if you wanted me to locate you. But but it's over on the west side. Yeah, like, over... Right across the Lloyd from Wendy's. I don't know if he would want me doing that either, but I think he's going to move soon. But
like by Chuckles Wendy's?
Yeah, that one, yeah.
No shit, I didn't know that.
He lives right there, yeah. He's got a badass recording studio in there. Tony Solner, he's from Jasper, I think. That's probably why you don't know him. I didn't know him before we just decided to record a free song with him. He does free song, and then...
Damn, bro. You need to look him up, man.
Yeah, he'll do one free song, and then... I don't know what he wants to charge now, so I won't say. But he's pretty badass, and we're recording our album with him whenever we do it. But anyway, you guys have a mixtape coming out. You said like a remix.
Yeah,
it's called the Remix Tape. Yeah.
That's cool.
First week of October.
Yep.
Fall Fest week? Like you're trying to.
I feel like that's a good week to kind of get it hyped
up. For Evansville, yeah. Everyone knows Fall Fest is going on, so.
And my birthday is that week.
That's cool.
The 5th. So that's cool. But like,
I guess
it's a good goal to have released by then. And plus, we've been working on it for the summer. We hadn't really come up with a good time to release it. And our friend Ollie Buckets is talking about releasing his Bucket Season sometime in August or September, so we thought we'd
I think he bumped it to November.
Oh, he bumped it. Okay. Okay. I know he's talking about bumping
it. Still not October, so.
Yeah. So we know we're good with October, and that gives us time to polish everything and re-record everything.
Yeah, because it's mostly done.
It's written.
It's all written. No, I still have to write the outro. So, fuck.
It's close, though, right?
Yeah. Most of it is at least rough draft recorded. We like to record and then like listen to it for like a week, and then come back and record like a final version of it.
Yeah.
To get it.
And even rewrite some stuff, retweet some stuff.
Yeah, like tweak syllables and shit like that.
It's like Ernest Hemingway always emphasized the rewriting process. And we were talking about earlier, we've both been rewriting stuff a lot more than we used to. I know like on my Vibe to It mixtape I came out with in April, I probably rewrote 3 or 4 songs on there. And that's something, just in my old age, I guess, I've been doing more than I did when I was younger. But the rewriting process is definitely, like, even right now, I just recorded the intro, what's going to be the intro on our mixtape the other night, and listening to it over the past couple of days, I've already come up with a lot of lyrics I'm going to change, a lot of things I'm going to change about it, but...
Oh, you have to do that. You have to listen to it before it's done.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a big thing, yeah. Especially if you're doing it yourself, you know? If you have someone who you, like, entrust in it, you know, that's one thing, but if you're doing it yourself, you always have to double check, you know? It's a big thing. Do you guys car test shit?
Is that, yeah.
Everybody
see,
does
my
that,
system sucks now, too. But Scott, my cousin Scott's got a dope car that has a good...
Come over, dude.
Yeah, for real. No,
I got two songs
now. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And he's got the same system I had in my old car before I totaled it. And it's a good system. So he's got like an 08 or 09 car.
Cool.
So it's pretty... But yeah, I definitely do that.
I feel that. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
You got a car test shit.
For sure.
Because that's where everybody's going to be listening to it.
I've even done some mixing in his car before.
Really?
Sat in there with my computer with that and plugged the aux in and like...
But we've both been working hard this year. We both came out with mixtape. You came out with POE in March and then Vibe to It in April. And then we got this remix tape coming out in October. But probably next year sometime we'll have a CD of all original material. But I guess I try to just stay writing every single day. You know, I try not to... I guess I fear writer's block. So I write every single day, like, because I'm afraid if I go a couple weeks without it or something. I try to freestyle at least every day or create something every single day.
Yeah, do something with it.
And I guess having a project in mind constantly helps you keep an end goal in mind.
Oh, yeah. It's like kind of like a result for all your effort, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's definitely a big thing to have. You got to constantly talk about it, too. Whenever you're... Like, more than one person, if you, you know, by yourself, I guess you could talk to yourself about it, or you could just think about it.
I do that.
I talk to myself. I'm not ashamed.
But I love working with Clay. It's like having a workout partner, because he keeps me accountable. I keep him accountable. Or, like, he just started a new job, so he's been tired as fuck lately, and I've been, like, low-key texting him, like, hey, man, you're in the verse yet? Like, I'm not trying to bug you, but, you know, but it's cool. We hold each other accountable.
Drink a monster.
There'll be times, where I'm not as much on the ball. He's, like, 3 songs ahead of me, so it's like, shit, I have to write, but it's a... it's really good working with this dude. I love working with this dude.
For sure. And that Three Songs Ahead of You, like, when I don't have a job, I'm usually up till, like, 5 o'clock in the fucking morning. Like,
with writing?
Yeah.
That's cool.
No, but, like, I won't start writing until, like, 12 o'clock, and I feel like I just, like, my body feels tired, but my mind's just racing.
I know exactly what you mean, dude. So I'll sit outside,
smoke some cigs, and look over the beats, and I'll write, like, 3 or 4 songs. Like,
that's awesome.
It won't be the final product, obviously, but, like, I'll get the, you know, what I want to say and how I want to say it down.
Gets you further, like, yeah,
exactly.
You're pushing toward it, yeah.
I always write in the mornings. I write best in the mornings. Out in the
See,
morning.
That's really? The opposite. Like, that's for me.
You guys,
like,
get the shower. You guys do the shower thing.
Yes.
When you're in the shower, it just your brain's working. Ideas. Yeah.
No, not really.
Really?
No, I don't even freestyle that much. I've tried freestyling in the shower before, and I can't even. I'm too
that's
concentrated
how I
on scrubbing.
Scrubbing. You're too busy using that conditioner in places.
Conditioner is better.
I mean, yeah, I scrub in the shower. I'm not ashamed of that.
It's before, you gotta do it before, man.
Before you wash yourself?
Before you get in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
I do it afterwards and take another shower.
It's like taking a shit after you shower.
Yeah.
Like
that's the
joke.
Worst thing to do, yeah. It's shit shower, a shit shave shower. Because everybody always says shit shower shave. But
no,
you don't got all the hair off.
Yeah, right. Wash that shit off of you, dude.
No shit.
You don't even have to get a
you
towel.
You should face moisturizer in the shower.
Right. That makes so much sense. I don't know. There's a lot of musicians in Evansville. I'm going left turn. There's a lot of musicians in Evansville, I feel like, that are just regular people. And, the musicians in Evansville are regular people. And I feel like if people just gave them a chance and went and to a show and actually took in the art that they're creating, that it would be even better than these, like, national celebrities. Because that's a real person. Like, they shop where you shop.
Yeah.
But in their, you know, spare time, they make this badass music.
Yeah, and when you find national celebrities or musicians, a lot of people want to talk about the struggle they had in the beginning, but they're not supporting the artists here that are struggling right now. It's like, yeah, I'm riding the bus to work. I ride my bike to work all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm working 2 jobs and paying off student loans, we all talk about, like, all of us are. And it's, it is kind of bullshit, because it's like, if one of us made it or something, like, oh, that dude was riding the bus to work, or like J.K. Rowling was writing that book on napkins. But it's like, why don't you support the people that, I'm broke as fuck and don't have nearly as much time as you do, but I'm still doing this shit every single day. Mm-hmm. Come to my show, please. I'm not even getting any money for this. I got $5 for my last show. I'm thankful for every dollar.
We got 15.
That's 5 bus rides, man.
We got 15,
yeah, 15.
For our last show. For a whole band.
And something with
but
me,
we're
too.
Not in it for the money.
Yeah.
So. Exactly. Like, same here.
I would love to have money for it, but...
You have to make a living off of it.
That's not what I'm doing. Like, that's not why I'm doing it. That's not what's pushing me.
Yeah.
Like, the badass music is what's pushing
me. Exactly. And, you know, something with me is I've noticed that my very best friends are supportive of my music, because I feel like there's parts of me as a person that I'm sure that everybody that's an artist is the same way, that they only let out through their music. Like, I might tell you something in a song that some of my best friends don't know, and it might be, like, hidden, you know, like, subconsciously, or it might be just blatant, like, this is what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
But, like, that's something I might not mention. I don't know. I feel like I have a better conversation musically with talking to myself in a booth or whatever than I can with a person, as far as explaining who I am as a person. If that makes any sense. I got pissed. After that
go
quote,
ahead, man. Yeah.
That's good. That's a fucking tattoo quote right there. Anybody need a burr?
No, I'm good.
Damn. Making me look like a drunkard again.
I'm gonna have to drive pretty soon, so 2 beers is good enough. Little dude. Can't handle a whole lot. So it was pretty awesome. Whenever I saw you at Sortie the other night, or it was like, 2 weeks ago or some shit? What was that like?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks
July,
ago.
What was it, July 22nd? Was that what it was?
It was Friday. It was a Friday. Yeah, July 22nd.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because we played a show there the night after that. Yeah, it was cool. Clay, like, which this has happened to everyone. I'm in no way giving him shit. But Clay, like, made a misstep and then, like, lost his place. Because he's going so goddamn fast. I don't see how, like, he keeps up with it in the first place. And I was like... and then you started freestyling. And that was the first time I could really hear you freestyling. Because, like, we were... when you freestyled at the show that Ryan put together, I couldn't really hear that well. They didn't have it, like, coming through the monitor like I would have liked.
Yeah.
Because just to hear all... There's, like, what, six people on stage at one point? Like, all just handing the mic back and forth?
Yeah.
And everyone else just kind of vibing? Yeah. That was fun as shit, man. That was one of the funnest things I've ever done, like, in music so far. Like, one of the, like, kind of extracurricular things, almost. That was badass. I couldn't hear you. I was like, damn, I want to hear what you were doing, what Nero was doing.
At the Mesker show, I fucked up one of my own verses and just freestyled the rest of it.
That was better.
Yeah, he was like...
not that the original was bad, but, like, I said the same thing about Groovy, because I made it, like, three lines into a song we have a video for that I should know, and then you picked it up and freestyled, and I feel like that made it a cooler...
It was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool. But, yeah, I was like, I didn't bring that up to, like, you know what I mean? For any, like, shitty reason. I just, it's happened to everybody, dude. I had to restart a song that I was playing. I mean, there weren't that many people there, so it wasn't a big deal, but I had to restart a song at fucking Shams Pizzeria. I had a false start. I, like, fucked up in the first 10 seconds, and I was like, nope, I'm gonna do it again. And, yeah, just acoustically. So yeah, that was, like, just me. I'm doing the music and the vocals, and I fucked it up, like... So, I mean, at least you still have a beat going,
yeah,
and you can pick it back up.
Yeah.
But if you just stop abruptly, that, like, triggers in people's brain. Like,
I guess with me with rap, it's like theater 101. I used to do speech as a kid, and I used to do theater in high school. And I guess, you know, you can't mess up when it's a live performance. Like, you keep going no matter what, you know? Mm-hmm. And I guess I see the same thing with rap. If I fuck up a line or, like, at the Mesker show when I freestyle the rest of the song, like, people didn't even know I was freestyling the rest of it, but, like, I won't try to backtrack. I'll just... keep going, you know? And sometimes I think I'm more comfortable freestyling on stage than I am doing songs, because when I first started performing, it was at the Lamasco open mics, and I would just freestyle, because I didn't have prepared material back then. But I was like, I don't know, put on a beat, I'll rap some shit, you know? But, like, I think I'm more comfortable freestyling, because I'm always paranoid I'm gonna, like, forget my lyrics or mess them up or something.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
If I'm freestyling, it's like, oh, I don't have lyrics to know.
Yeah,
so
like,
it's like, yeah, yeah.
Say
and people seem to enjoy freestyling enough, but... To me, that's hip hop at its truest form, is when you can just do it on a street corner. Like, I could see it on a street corner, someone just bang a trash can lid, and I could, you know, flow to it. And I feel like that's something hip hop's missing a lot today at its basis form.
Dude, there was one night that I was really, this was before I got in trouble, P.O. This was when I was really stoned, and I was sitting upstairs eating some spaghetti on my kitchen counter, and I was rapping to, like, I could hear the second clock on the clock, you know, like, you know, it ticks, and I was just rapping that. You know what I mean?
One time I met a rapper, and I asked him his top 5 MCs of all time, and he put himself in there. He left out Kendrick and Eminem, but he put himself in there. I was like, oh, he must be pretty good, you know? So I was like, I was like, freestyle. And he's like, oh, I don't freestyle. It's like, you're not a rapper. You're
right.
A writer.
Yeah,
you write rhythmically, but you're not a rapper. If you can't spit something right now,
yeah.
What do you know? I don't know. You're not a rapper.
That's how I feel too. That's why I didn't like the freshman class this year on that XXL, because.
Some of those were songs.
Besides, their songs are garbage too, but like... No, they are. They're fucking trash.
We're coming for you, Little Dicky.
Hey, fuck you. Little Dicky was the best one out of all of them. Like, Yachty, Uzi, those dudes are whack. Anyway, if they hear this,
their songs
fuck
are trash.
Yeah. No, like, if I'm, like, hammering on Xanax, I'm, like, raging to it, because I have no idea what's going on. You know, the beat's cool. That's what I mean, like, as the freshman cypher, their freestyles were just trash. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
I see cyphers online where it's random cities. It's like a group in a random city, and their shit will be better than anything I've heard on the radio in the last fucking 5 years, probably.
That's what I'm saying. Hip-hop needs to go back to this.
Like. And not to sound, like, too braggadocious, but, like, I feel like a freestyle session between me, you, RC, or your RC, me, you.
Hi, I'm RC.
Buckets and Nero, and like some of the, like, you know, the local people that we fuck with, would, as far as talent wise, be way better than them. And not that I'm not trying to say we're amazing, but like, I'm just saying that's more
we
of
are
sort
pretty
as
amazing.
How terrible they are compared to, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah, we're pretty fucking cool. But no, like, I'm not trying to sound like a
Nero plays jackass. Piano and shit too, right? So
yeah,
I mean, like,
he does keys.
That
he's,
was,
he's
that night that we played at the Rhyme Taylor show, he was like, hey, Jangle Sheep, I'm going to need your help on this one. And me and Sean, the drummer, were like, okay. And we went up there. I played, what's his name, the guy from Stolen Remains, his bass, which was like a drop weird tuning. And I was like, it took me probably 3 minutes to actually find what I should be playing.
Yeah.
And then finally I did. And once I did, Nero, like, looked over at us, like, you know, and, like, okay, we got it now. And he was like, they just learned this. I was like, yeah, but, I mean, it's not that hard. It's just I'm drunk and
yeah,
this is out of whack for me.
He says, yeah, it's not my Nah, Nero's dope, though. He's probably one of my favorite.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He fucking slaughtered. Like, after that song, and that song was really good. It was melodic and everything, and then after that song, he went in his rap songs, and Ollie Buckets was up there with him the whole time, I think.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. Dug it.
Yeah, for sure. This little local like rap fan that we have kind of going on is awesome. And I consider this working that too. They're not always up here, but we contact them a lot. We're trying to get some
shit going with them. They're badass, dude. Yeah, I've had them on. They're so fucking good.
Yeah, I love them.
What that one line? He says something about your call up your grandma to do some butt stuff or something. What is it? Something about your grandma doing butt stuff?
Take your grandma home and do some butt
something like that. Yeah, beautiful. Just like.
So blatantly like fuck you.
Ronda Rousey's twat is in one of their songs.
Yeah,
like,
that
phrase is in one of their songs.
What is that? I think that's the wrist work song.
It's one of the newer ones. Yeah,
your wrist hurt.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
That's awesome. They're so fucking good. And that guy, Russell, well, Forrest Gumption,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
He posts pictures of him and his daughter like all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he's definitely a good father for sure. I just love it because they're. They have songs that they talk about some, like, really good shit, you know what I mean? But, like, even in that, they'll still be, like, just raunchy as fuck.
Right.
Which I feel like kind of relates to how we are a lot, too. You know, we say some real shit, but then a lot of times we're, like... Like, we were talking about the other week that one of the first verses we ever wrote that didn't... At one point, say... Something about making her suck my dick or like suck my dick.
I heard some raunchy lines when I saw you guys at Sortie.
My freestyle was the raunchiest, dude.
And then No Doubt, yeah, the rollout remix we have on the remix tape.
Now, how'd you get this fucking rash? Oh shit, I think it's pimping. Bitch.
I liked your, you, oh man, this is so dirty. But you said something like, I tried to pull out, then she shit out my gravy.
Yeah,
is that what you say?
That was the gravy freestyle, and I said, asked if I could put it in her ass, and she said maybe, and then I pulled it out. My dick was covered in gravy.
Oh, man. That's even worse
That's
than
what I
thought it was.
Like, yeah, my freestyle
was worse than I thought it was.
Sorry, Mom.
Not a true story, just totally.
If people eat gravy, then they poop it, so. Not that
far.
Yeah, I guess it's physics at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's a good one. Max will get it on your dick.
Man, it's awesome to see all of these. Like, it kind of came out of nowhere, honestly. Like, there weren't any... I mean, there were a couple guys trying, but just in the last few years, there's just been kind of an eruption of, like, local hip-hop talent. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it really seemed to just happen in the past year. Like, I just met... I just met Ollie Buckets at Lamasco, like, not even a year ago. And he was just talking about that here the other night. He was like, you know, a lot of rappers meet me at shows and get my number and shit. But he was like, you know, you
that
actually follow through with making me do songs and shit. And I think we all push each other, really, because I started seeing them getting, you know, like Ollie Buckets and Nero getting shows, and they're seeing us getting shows. I started asking them to open our shows. It's like, you know, I want good people to open, and they're my favorite. Like, I'm fans of them. I'm a fan of Ollie Buckets.
Huge,
I'm a fan of Nero.
Huge.
Like, and I was honored to have them open for me and shit. And then when they get shows, they ask me to open for them sometimes and stuff. And it's just... Yeah, like Clay was saying, family. And I just went to Louisville with Nero recently, and that's where I met Theo Tolbert, that's on the tape, and Jamarcus Rivers and Morgan and Sean Gibson, who are on Nero's crew, Tune Crew.
Sonny.
I've met them all. Yeah, and Sonny, and I've met them all through Nero, and I've done songs. Like, I have a song with Morgan right now called 8Side 1-2. We might... Nero's performing for his birthday on August 10th at PG, and Morgan asked me to do
that
song with him.
Oh,
yeah.
You said that, yeah.
Cool.
It's really cool... interconnectivity we have going on that I can't say I had even a year ago, and it just kind of came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden we're all, and honestly, like, with Mikey coming into town and you know, with Sortie and everything, getting us all shows, and I think that helped us artists all meet each other and
intertwine,
kind of, you know, having the local support like that.
It's pretty cool, man. I mean, Mikey J, a lot of people talk shit, but, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where, like, I'm not even really... We're not, like, real, like, buddies. We don't hang out all the time.
Same.
But he's just done a lot for the local community. Like, he really has.
I've heard people talk about shady shit he's done, but as far as with me, he's always been extremely helpful.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Like, he's the first person to give me a chance.
Me and you did the first show, the opening night at Sortie last November. Yeah. Like, he offered us that. So, like, yeah, he's a good-ass dude. In the Masker Fest, people were complaining about how that went down, but, like, for real... He had help, but he was mostly done by him.
I'm always like, did you go? Did you go?
Exactly.
Whenever people talk shit and they didn't go.
Exactly.
Everyone who went doesn't talk shit because it was fun.
Yeah, like, it was so awesome.
I had a blast that day. I was...
Me and you and Keaton were walking up to the food truck area before we performed. We were like, dude, this is crazy. Like, we're in Evansville, but it feels like I'm at a fucking music festival.
Yeah, there's so many people there and shit.
And it was.
Right?
It was
people
walking
around everywhere.
People
walking
around, carefree,
beautiful.
You know. It was amazing, dude. I hope he does it next year, too. I hope he does it 2 days, man, for real.
Yeah.
Because I worked the hip-hop booth, and I didn't get to see you guys perform.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see, I think, Farrington Drive performed, and I wanted to see...
I saw them.
Pros of Odin. I like them.
Yeah.
And
they jam at the jam room. They practice at the jam room.
They're dope. I didn't get to see anybody because I was basically working the door at the hip-hop booth, which was fun. Like, there were some good acts there as well, obviously. But... I wanted to, have time to go watch other groups that I wanted to see.
Yeah, that's what we did. We just walked around. We did, actually, a live on-scene interview on 89.1.
Oh, really?
Because we know the guy. Because we did the Battle of the Bands, a month before that.
Yeah, yeah.
In Mount Carmel. And then we won it. It was pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It was weird. We didn't expect to win it, but we did. Like, it was weird. It was kind of weird how they did it, but we won, so I'm not arguing with it.
Oh, hell yeah.
But people complained about it. But White Knight played that night. They're from Owensboro. They're fucking insane. Insanely good, prog rock. Check them out, actually. If you want to listen to some shit that just takes you to another place.
Yeah,
totally.
Of course, man.
Takes you on a journey.
Yeah.
But it's rock, you know? It's pretty heavy rock sometimes. It's damn good. But we thought they were going to win, because technically those guys are fucking insane, and they didn't. But... It's cool to, that you can go to an event like that, and then you just kind of meet people. Like, we had already met them once before. We played a show with them back, almost 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago now. And, I mean, they're good, but I don't know. It's cool how you go in and out of your interactions with people. You guys will do shows with Nero for a while, and then when you move, you won't. But I'm sure they'll come back around. It'll come back around, and you'll see him again.
Exactly.
And then it'll be all the more,
And especially with the digital age.
If we ever get signed, we're scooping him up in a heartbeat.
But I ain't signing up.
Oh, that's right.
Signer
that's right. You know what I mean.
That's a quote I got. With the digital age, we have a guy that lives in Italy that initially hit him up on SoundCloud and was like, yo, I dig your shit. And then I think just sent you some
Luigi
beats,
Massa.
Right? Luigi
yeah.
Massa.
That's cool, man.
And then now, we talk on a regular
songs
basis.
On the vibe to it.
And then he produced one on mine as well, and I have a feature, and he's on the Universal Language song. He made that beat and shit, and then...
Oh, great.
I feature him as well, and he can speak English, but he raps in Italian.
Oh, wow.
So it's crazy. I have no idea what the fuck he's saying, but, he kills it, you know what I mean? I love it.
That's cool.
He produced Eat My Words.
Yeah, Eat My Words. That was one of the favorites off your mixtape. That was a fun song.
And The Weatherman.
Yeah.
Which has people speaking in Italian in the beginning. I had no idea I was going to write on that beat, but the guys speaking Italian were two best friends, and one of them's dead ghost talking to the other. And my best friend from high school died in a car wreck, which is crazy because before I even knew Clay, my best friend, the guy who died in a car wreck, I have tattooed on my arm. It's Jeff Feaster is his name. And he's the reason I rap today. I was really shy about it and personal about it. And he's the reason I know Dan, who also makes beats, because they're neighbors. And Jeff pushed me to rap and made me less shy about it. And then come to find out, I met Clay some years later after Jeff was dead. And Jeff was Clay's older brother or something in school.
Mm-hmm.
They have the big brother, little brother in school.
Really?
So there's crazy connectivity. And then Dan makes our beats. And Jeff's very involved in the music still. And then that song Weatherman, and so with that beat, with that conversation in the beginning, he's I have to write about Jeff on this song. So his sister Emily, the female vocalist, keyboardist I was talking about, that's
Same
his sister.
No
hell.
Way,
yeah.
Really?
She was at the show the other night. Yeah, that's
that's
his sister.
That's all connected.
Yeah,
holy
man,
shit, that's
that
crazy.
Well,
yeah, everything. He's very involved in our band still. That's it's cool. I think he'd be very stoked to see what we're doing. He'd be
We've got some old songs, or you have some old songs with him that I still want to figure out how to try to extract his vocals and kind of do a
Really?
Like, with us three on there. Because I knew him pretty... I know Ward knew as well as he did, but, like, I knew him pretty well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He hung out with, like, a lot of the same friend groups, you know, I did, and we went to the same grade school, same high school, so... But, yeah, I think it'd be cool to try to incorporate him on a song eventually someday if I can extract the vocals right.
So you don't have the original tracks, you just have the song?
Just, yeah, like the MP3 version.
That's what happened.
All that was on his computer, yeah, and he got robbed one night.
Oh, man.
Gunpoint and shit, and they took all of our stuff, like all the music. We had like 20 songs recorded, and he got pistol whipped, and our mic got stolen, and that got stolen, everything. Got stolen.
Thug life.
They're fucking with him, and put a gun to his head, and was like, should I kill him right now, and blah, blah, blah. And...
Did you say no?
I wasn't there. I was there a couple hours later, because he called me at like 4 a.m. I wondered why he was calling me at such an odd hour, and he said he just got robbed. I drove straight there. I didn't even think about it.
That's crazy.
And he was at his cousin's house, like, off First Avenue, like, off, like, Tennessee Street.
Shit's popping up. That's crazy. Shit's popping up now lately, too, man.
Yeah, people act like shit doesn't go on in Evansville, but I just heard, like, a 16-year-old boy got shot the other day, and I heard about, like, a 14-year-old boy getting shot over a dice game.
Murder for, like, four people and shit. That's fucking retarded. You live in Evansville, this isn't, like...
Shit ain't a joke.
This isn't just like, you know,
it's still America.
Yeah. I mean, fuck. Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. That's stupid as fuck, man.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird how people fall into that shit. Some people fall into that shit, and then some people kind of fall into creativity, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you fall into both.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people who've been in, like, the gang scene and the music scene at the same time. But I don't know if any of us are in the gang scene of Evansville. I wouldn't expect so, but yeah, it's around us. It exists.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But I got friends there. Weird. That I have been involved in that kind of thing,
yeah.
Like locally. Not that they're like kingpins or anything, you know what
right,
I mean?
But
like
yeah, still, yeah.
I feel like a lot of people, at least locally though, see the glam of like the glamour of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really don't think I come from a place that I can really speak justifiably about gang life, though.
yeah, I can't either. It's really. It's kind of cool how hip hop has moved away from that. I feel like where it's
even
more
some
like,
of the gangster rappers that like that's how they made it. Mm-hmm. Talking about that, like Snoop is an example.
Yeah, right. Have you ever listened to his podcast? His podcast is pretty funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen the GGN.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, that thing.
That
yeah,
shit
that's,
is hilarious,
that's
dude.
He had Trailer Park on. Trailer Park Boys on.
He's on their
that
new
the funniest.
Season. I think.
Yeah, yeah. That podcast was one of the funniest podcasts I've ever listened to. Those guys, they're hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, that like, that's why I like kind of doing this, just having a conversation with musicians and kind of see where their heads are at, almost. Yeah, it's like Mikey J is kind of a force within the Evansville music scene. La Masco is a venue that, you know, is driving it. PG, like, we've got the stuff here. We just have to, like, make something of it.
Yeah.
We have to have dedicated people like you guys, like, all the bands that we've all done, Hero and Ollie Buckets. Just, like, it's awesome to have that, like, we have it. We just have to, you know...
Get it out there.
Nurture
really.
It, yeah.
That's what I think one of the biggest benefits about the Meskerfest was, is that, like, well, there was, like, 50-something bands there, and obviously all of them aren't from Evansville, but, like, they're all, like, most of them are talented as fuck, you know, the ones that I know of that I've listened to in that playlist I have, like, they're all really good.
Yeah.
It's just getting, and I think that was a good opportunity to get them out there to people that necessarily wouldn't have, like, sought them out to listen
right.
to, which I think is, you know, key to get the scene going, because
mm-hmm.
back in the day, like, Boney Junes was popular,
mm-hmm.
it seemed like to me, and I wasn't involved in the scene, I went, like, to Boney Junes a lot, but it seemed like the most popular thing was kind of, like, that style. Like, usually there was screamo, hardcore kind of shit, like,
right,
punk
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Emo shit.
But now, yeah, exactly. But now it seems like there's just a massive variety of awesome bands, artists, whatever, and it's just kind of getting people to get out there and check them out.
Yeah, that's really the big thing, is just getting interest garnered, you know? That kind of sucks that a lot of people just won't give it a chance. We were at PG, actually, a friend and I, and for the Mock Orange show they did a few months ago. It was like a month before Meskerfest, or a few weeks before Meskerfest. And they actually put it in the front room of PG because they knew there were going to be a bunch of people. They moved all that furniture upstairs, I guess, and then they had it up front. And it was awesome, but it was like, we were getting beer, and this guy behind us is like, talking to another guy, and he's like, yeah, man, these local bands, it's kind of like, did I just hear that band, or is it, and he was like saying we all sound the same, and
I don't get how
it was like pissing me off. I was like, really? Really? And then they started talking about going to a Poison concert. I was like, oh, well, okay. This isn't the type of person I want as a fan anyway.
He doesn't have a lot of ground to stand on.
Fuck this guy, yeah. Fuck this guy. But that attitude exists, and it persists, and we have to, you know, break past it. It is. There's some badass talent here.
Like, you take, like, the top, like, 25 most popular bands in Evansville, and one, like, there's no similarities between them really at all.
Right. Right. It's crazy. We're all doing our own thing.
Yeah.
You guys have something totally different than Nero, even. You know? Yeah. It's still hip-hop, which I love, because
even me and him are so, like, different as far as... But, like, it meshes together so... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's why I love the songs where all four of us are together, because we each are... Yeah, we each stand out with our own
exactly, which I love it. It adds...
Which we're dropping a That Part remix very soon with Nero and K2 or Ollie Buckets. And the GarageBand remix. We're talking about making a video, too, as well, because that would be pretty cool to kind of reinvent that concept since that's actually an original remix of one of our original songs, or my original song, with Keaton on guitar. Dan behind the beat. But Nero spices this beat up. Which Nero makes beats cool. as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's been making beats for a long time. He makes some dope shit.
Man, I'm excited to hear all this stuff, man. It's like a awesome collaboration. It's like the collaboration you would want if you've been to shows like I have and seen, you know, both of you guys separately. Like, you're kind of like you guys performing and then Nero performing with, but I guess I've seen you guys together most of the time.
Yeah, we all cycled together at Massacre. Yeah, that was cool.
That shit was fun.
But I couldn't go to that because it was right when we were getting ready, so I couldn't make it to that. But I've seen you at Sortie, and then I think I've seen you a couple more times, RC, at different things. I know I saw you at the old Sortie, the one that burned up, and then with Nero. And then I saw you somewhere else too, and I can't remember now. No, it was the hip hop show that we've been talking about.
Yeah,
that fucking show. Yeah, that was crazy. I did not, like, a month before that show happened, my idea of what it was going to be, totally different than what it ended up being. Like, it ended up being, like, pretty badass. But before that, I was like, well, it might work, it might not. I don't know if he's going to have his shit together or not. Because you never know with local shows.
Yeah.
Like, especially when someone has a job and someone's, like, doing other things, are they really going to be able to pull this off? But Ryan pulled it off. It was pretty cool. It was kind of weird to go from Ollie Buckets to Stolen Remains.
Yeah.
But it was
that's
cool
though. I like Mash. Yeah. Mikey cool. J's got one going on. When is that? September 20th that we're doing the show? And it's like a rock rap mashup? I think it's September 20th. Anyway, I'm pumped for that shit.
Yeah, where at?
At Sortie.
At Sortie? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah. I really hope he does a Mesker Fest next year.
Me too, man. Like, we're coming back.
You guys should come back for it.
Yeah, we're back. We're back.
You have to. That'll be awesome.
We'll arrange it.
I think they're going to do a country stage if they do it again.
Yes! We got an intro on the country stage. It's like a band. They're going to do some country songs. Dude, that'd be fun. You play bass for our country band, bro?
Yeah, let's do that.
Fuck yeah. We got straw in your mouth is required.
Yeah. Man, that'd be awesome. They're doing a country thing, though, I guess. Because there's a bunch of country guys in Evansville.
Yeah, there are.
A lot of them play covers and shit. But,
yeah.
Covers seem to be the thing that everyone... That people who usually don't like bar music, they'll deal with. They'll deal with it if it's covers.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks. Because you're, like, taking my creativity.
That's, like, literally only, like, the next step up in karaoke.
Because they want to sing along to it. It's really about themselves.
Yeah. Right, it is. It's selfish
motherfuckers,
shit.
Motherfuckers, dude.
They don't want to hear anybody else's creations.
Yeah.
Fuck them, though. That's not who's even going to be listening to this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
see, I like that whenever you... I listened to the... You interviewed Matt Mudd he said that as far as, like, bands that are forming, like, coming together as far as some of your first shows, fuck it, don't do covers. Like,
right.
Go out there and just do your originals and, like, show who you are. You know what
right.
I mean? Which I like that. And, like, not that... Like, I wanted... I like doing... Like, I said I wanted... do some Rage covers, stuff like that. But I do really like what he said. Like, you know, fuck that. Like, appeal with your own kind of stuff. Not just...
So Long Vinyls have definitely done that. I don't know if I've ever heard them do a cover live, actually. Yeah, I think they always do originals. Yeah, they are. They were in that Battle of the Bands, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I think they had just gotten a new guitarist at the time. That was right after the interview. That was, like, maybe a month after that interview. And then I just sat on that fucking interview for, like, 3 months like a dumbass. yeah, I really did. And then I've also got two more that I'm sitting on that I need to release. And then this one. This one will probably be before those two, because this one's actually time-sensitive. So, but anyway, I guess it's been almost an hour. I should probably call it. One, because I have to take a piss really bad, and two, because I have to leave pretty soon.
So. We can go smoke a cig, too, bro. Yeah.
All right, well, thanks. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, soundcloud.com/clearnation812.
soundcloud.com/RCDMC. Or just type in RCDMC on Google, and you'll probably find some shit.
And soundcloud.com/EvansVillains. Our type in
EvansVillains.
Are you going to keep the name once you move?
We've discussed that, because I'm getting knuckle tats, and I'm getting villains. So we might just shorten it to villains.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I dig it.
Villainous Records.
Well.
Yeah.
Well.
It's been fun, man.
Yeah.